In the silent haze of cinema's earliest decades, many films vanished into the vaults of time, their reels disintegrating, misplaced, or simply discarded. Among those lost to history is the first motion picture adaptation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby, released during a decade not far removed from the novel's own backdrop. The year saw flappers, prohibition, and jazz blazing across the cultural landscape like a comet. Yet this adaptation, created while the novel itself was still fresh in the public mind, has become one of the most elusive artifacts of early American cinema. This is Land of the Lost, The Great Gatsby. This silent rendition starred Warner Baxter as Jay Gatsby and Lois Wilson as Daisy Buchanan, a pairing that promised a dynamic interpretation of Fitzgerald's glittering, doomed world. The film was directed by Herbert Brennan, an experienced figure in the silent era whose previous work had encompassed sweeping melodramas and adaptations of literary classics. In capturing the essence of Gatsby's tragic longing and the gaudy emptiness of the Jazz Age elite, the production faced the challenge of translating Fitzgerald's richly symbolic prose into a purely visual medium. Unfortunately, no known prints of the film have survived. What remains are a handful of production stills, cast lists, promotional materials, and scattered reviews that offer only the faintest outline of what audiences might have experienced in darkened theaters nearly a century ago. Without sound, and with intertitles conveying dialogue and exposition, the silent version of Gatsby was forced to distill complex emotional undercurrents into glances, gestures, and light. In the absence of the original film, scholars and enthusiasts have long speculated about its visual style and narrative choices. The stills that survive suggest a moodier tone than later adaptations, perhaps a product of the era's inherent theatricality and the moral overtones typical of films from that period. Warner Baxter's portrayal of Gatsby, seen in promotional images with a polished demeanor and brooding eyes, hints at a more subdued, possibly less romanticized version of the character. Unlike the often suave, confident Gatsbys that would follow, this one seemed to wear his melancholy visibly. Lois Wilson, then a respected and prolific actress, appears poised and dignified in her portrayal of Daisy, a far cry from the ethereal enigma that some critics have painted her as in the novel. Her performance, by all accounts, brought depth to a role that was not easy to define, especially without the aid of Fitzgerald's narration to contextualize her decisions. Reviews from the time were mixed. Some praised the film's opulent sets and stylish costumes, which captured the extravagance and illusion of wealth that defined Gatsby's world. Others criticized it for lacking the soul of the novel, suggesting that its moral caution was too overt, its pacing sluggish. A few noted that the filmmakers seemed to emphasize the dangers of moral decay, a theme palatable to contemporary audiences, but perhaps at odds with Fitzgerald's more nuanced view of personal failure and the American dream. Daisy, for instance, was portrayed as being more culpable, more aware of her role in the destruction around her. Gatsby, meanwhile, may have been shown as more reckless than romantic. The film's moral slant is understandable when placed in the context of the era. Hollywood was just beginning to wrestle with censorship, and studios were eager to preempt criticism by shaping their narratives to fit moral expectations. There were reports that some versions of the film included an explicit warning about the dangers of alcohol and hedonism, a clear concession to the era's guardians of public decency. In this way, the first Gatsby on film may have served more as a cautionary tale than as an elegy. It is worth noting that F. Scott Fitzgerald himself reportedly disliked the film. According to accounts from those close to him, he and his wife Zelda walked out of a screening, unimpressed with the liberties taken with the characters and narrative. For a writer so invested in the emotional subtlety of his work, the broad strokes required by silent cinema may have felt like a betrayal. Yet for all its apparent flaws, the film remains an essential piece of Gatsby lore, if only because it serves as the first cinematic attempt to wrestle with the novel's elusive spirit. What makes the loss of this film especially poignant is the aura of mystery that surrounds it. Unlike many other lost films that faded due to poor storage or lack of interest, this one had a pedigree, a popular literary origin, and recognizable stars. Its disappearance feels almost symbolic, as if the film had become a ghost of Gatsby himself, obsessed with a dream, vanishing when it could not be realized. Over the decades, film preservationists and historians have searched archives and private collections in hopes of uncovering even a fragment of this early adaptation. Rumors have occasionally surfaced, whispers of reels tucked away in basements, of mislabeled canisters in foreign film vaults. but none have borne fruit. The film's status remains unchanged, presumed lost, with the slim possibility that some portion of it may yet resurface. The absence of the film adds a strange and haunting dimension to the Gatsby legacy. Later versions, some more faithful, others more interpretive, stand on the shoulders of this vanished predecessor. Yet without access to the original, modern viewers and critics are left to imagine how Gatsby first came to life on screen. Was it grand or melodramatic? Did it capture the sorrow beneath the surface? Or was it simply a well-dressed misfire that missed the novel's essence? In the end, the lost great Gatsby of the silent era has become something of a myth in its own right. It joins the ranks of other vanished works of art, where absence breeds fascination. Like the green light at the end of Daisy's dock, it represents something just out of reach, a piece of cultural memory we can almost see, but never touch. And like Gatsby's dream, it may never return, no matter how earnestly we stretch our hands toward it.